Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Balance Point, where our mission is to know the Word of God, know His power, and make it known. Today we're continuing our study in the book of Luke, and we are still in chapter 1 of the book of Luke. Excuse me. And we're going to be picking up where we left off. We're actually going to be picking up in verse 26 of the Gospel of Luke. And so before we get there, let us bow our hearts and pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne today. And we seek your grace. We seek your glory. We seek your majesty. We ask, Father God, that you would bless this time. Father God, be with the hearer of the word as well as the speaker of the word, that you might be magnified and that you might be glorified, that we might truly know the word of God and know your power. In the mighty and awesome name of your Son, Jesus, and all of God's people, said amen. Amen. Welcome to 2020, if we've not already said that before. Been a while since we have recorded one of these because we have actually... And so, it's kind of difficult to record when your voice is just totally jacked up. But we are doing much better now. And we are going to get back into our regular recording, regular releases, a Balance Point. Really like to get through Gospel of Luke this year, preferably by the summer, because we have some good things coming up for the people at Balance Point this year that are exciting. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through Balance Point in your life. So, with that, let us get started with part 4 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke. And we are still in what is traditionally called the Christmas story. And we are going to be looking at the section that if you grew up Roman Catholic or one of the high churches, would be called the Annunciation. And so when we left off, we saw the Annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist. And we saw the prophecy of his greatness. Now we're coming up to the Annunciation of the birth of Christ. And so let us dig in at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth. So, this is the sixth month. And not quite sure whether it's the sixth month of their calendar year, but it is very conceivable that this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Because she conceived and hid herself for 5 months. So this is probably the sixth month of her pregnancy. And watch this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." God very, very often, when he comes into our lives, will greet us thusly. Rejoice, highly favored one. You know, as I read this, my mind flashed to the book of Judges, where God comes down and he meets a young man who was threshing grain in a wine press. Because the enemies of the nation had been in the area and they'd been raiding and stealing the people's food. And when the angel of the Lord greeted this young man, he greeted him thusly, "Hail, mighty man of valor." Hail, mighty man of valor. You see, God does not speak to us as we see ourselves. Rather, God speaks to us as he sees us. He speaks to us in our potential. And so here the angel says to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one." And the Lord would say to you, "Rejoice, highly favored one, because this is the day of the Lord's salvation. There is no special club to get in. There is no special handshake that you have to do. His salvation is free to everyone. And so to each and every person who responds to the good gift of God, God says, rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. And then God says to Mary, the angel, Gabriel, says to Mary, blessed are you among women. Why was she blessed? Because she had been selected by God to carry the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Now picking up in verse 9, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. So listen to this greeting that the angel said to her. Do not be afraid. This is the same greeting that God gives to each one of us. You know, because of our sin, because of our fallen nature, when approached by the holy, our first response is to be afraid. Our first response is to run and hide, just as our father Adam did after the fall. But God says, do not be afraid. You see, God does not desire us to be afraid of him. God desires us to come to him freely and openly. God is not an angry God. Even in the Old Testament, a lot of people say, well, the God of the Old Testament was an angry God. Strike. That is not God's preferred mode of activity with mankind. God's preferred mode is to approach us as a loving God, as a loving Father. And so watch this. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You know, today you have found favor with God? Yes, Mary found favor with God some 2,000 years ago when God called her to carry the holy seed. But today God says to you and to me, you have found favor with God. Why? Because today we are each called to carry the Son of God, the Spirit of God, to carry the presence of the Son in our lives. And whether you've accepted him or not, guess what? You have found favor. Because whether you accept it or not, you have been called. Now the word does say, Many are called, but few are chosen. It isn't because God didn't choose you. God chose you from before the foundation of the world. It's because you didn't choose you. And so you have favor with God. And watch this. And she's told this wonderful thing. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Jesus. Now let me talk to you about the name of Jesus. Because you see, when we read Jesus, we think we're reading, you know, English. But what we're really reading is the transliteration of what it sounds, of what the word sounded like in the Greek. In the Greek, it's Jesus. In the Hebrew, it would be Yehoshua or Joshua. Of course, living here in LA, be just as easy to read this as Jesus. But what do those words mean? What do those words mean? Well, let's go back to the Hebrew. Yehoshua. Joshua. It comes from two words, two roots. The first root is, of course, God's name, Jehovah, Yahweh. And the second root is Hoshea, meaning save now or salvation. So Yehoshua is the covenant name of God, I am, with the root salvation. And so the angel instructs Mary to name her firstborn son, I am salvation. Wow. And then some more promises are given. He will be great. Yes, he was great. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High God. Yes, he is called the Son of the Most High God. And then there's the rest of this, which is a promise that has not been yet fully fulfilled. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Because remember, Mary is of the house and lineage of David. Well, you don't know that yet. We'll get to that in a subsequent chapter when we get to the genealogy of Mary. But Mary is a descendant of David through the second son, Nathan. Not to be confused with the prophet called Nathan. But this was David's son, Nathan. And there's an interesting story behind that that we will get into when we talk about that genealogy. Because there's a reason why he had to come through that lineage. But he will, the Lord God, in other words, and this is El, the Lord God, will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. We've not seen that fulfilled yet. Not directly on earth. But it's coming. Jesus has not received the throne of David yet. What throne? But Dan, you say, Jesus is sitting on a throne. Yes, he is. He's sitting on the throne of God the Father. He has inherited the throne of God the Father. He sits on the throne of the universe. But there will come a day when he will sit on the throne of David. And of his kingdom there will have no end. Not just 1,000 years, but forever. So getting down into verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? In other words, I'm a virgin. How am I going to conceive? Now, if we back up to the lesson we had last time with Zacharias. Zacharias asked, how can this be? And his position was, how are you going to do, I don't believe that you are going to do what you were promised to do. His response is almost like Elizabeth's, Sarah's response, Sarai, when the angel came and announced to Abraham and Sarai that they were going to have a son, and Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. And Sarah laughs and is like, dude, I'm 90. Like, I'm going to make a baby now. Oh, please. Zechariah has the same response that Elizabeth, I mean, Sarah had. Abraham had kind of the response that Mary had. Mary's response was, I don't know a man. I'm a virgin. How can this be? Abraham's response was, God, I've got a son. Why can't we work through the flesh, the son of my flesh? Mary's saying, I don't have any flesh in this game. How are we going to get pregnant? And watch what the angel says. The angel answered her and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And watch this. And this is so cool. This is cool. Ooh-wee. Oh, man. I so kind of want to get into this whole thing. Because there's a reason why there has to be a virgin birth. In fact, there's so much prophecy about the virgin birth, and then there's a specific reason, and it's so tempting to jump into it right here. But I'm going to save it for when we get to the genealogies, because there's a whole, it ties into the genealogy in a subsequent chapter. But watch this. So the angel explains how Mary is going to conceive. Not that the explanation makes a whole lot of human sense. It's like, okay, so this God thing is going to come upon me, and I'm going to get pregnant, and oh boy. But the angel doesn't just leave it there. In verse 36, the angel brings reassurance. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. And so the angel reassures Mary that what he has said is going to come to pass. You know, in our lives and in our walk and our experience of just life on earth, God often speaks to us. God often shows us incredible things, outrageous things. And he says, you're going to participate in that. That's going to be you. And God will speak prophetically. You're going to do this, and this is going to happen, and this is going to come to pass. And when God speaks these things to us, our heart's natural thing is, God, you weird. How can this happen? How can this be? And sometimes God gives, you know, a confidence booster like he did with Mary. And the proof to Mary that what God said was true was God did something else that was equally impossible. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. You know what is impossible with God? The impossible. And see, with God, all things are possible. Why? Because God does not exist within the same constraints that we exist. God does not exist within the constraints of 4+1 dimensions. See, God can see the beginning from the end. God saw you listening to this message. God saw you hearing this message and being encouraged by the things that God has said over your life. For with God, nothing is impossible. If God can make an old woman bear a child, and by the way, Elizabeth wasn't really that old. I mean, not compared to Sarah. Because remember, Zechariah was ministering in the temple, and as we discussed previously, for Zechariah to still be active in ministry in the temple, that meant that Zechariah was not yet 50 years old. Because a mandatory retirement for the priesthood and the Levites, 50 years old. And so, they weren't, I mean, because of the life expectancy, yeah, 50 years old back then was ancient. But it wasn't that old. Sarah, on the other hand, she was 90. Now, admittedly, back then, because of the lifespans involved, honestly, Sarah wasn't that old either, even though she was 90. And by our standards, she was old. But by the standards back then, 90, yeah, that wasn't that bad. That was probably, you know, upper middle age back then. But the point is for God, nothing is. God told you that you're going to be set free this year. Maybe free from addiction. And that addiction has been dogging your heel. Has been chasing you around. And you feel like you've hit a wall. Maybe you've hit a sea that you can't cross mentally. Don't give up. Because it's not impossible. God will part that sea. And you'll walk through on dry land. Is there disease in your life that you've just been battling and battling? Know this, at some point you will be healed. I'm not going to say, you know, God's going to instantly heal you now because you've heard this, but you know what? I will declare over your life healing. But guess what? Sometimes God doesn't heal us until we step through the veil into our next stage of existence. And that's fine too. You still got your healing. You see, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. And watch Mary said. This is the heart of a follower of God. And then Mary said, "Behold, maidservant. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Now, I don't know if Mary considered what it would mean to be the mother of God. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like when she turned up pregnant? Now, remember, she is betrothed to Joseph at this point. And betrothal at that time was not like engagement today. Because you see, when you were betrothed at that time, under the law, you were considered as good as married. You were married. You just had not come together as a husband and wife yet. So can you imagine when she finally tells Joseph, hey, Joseph, an angel visited me and said that I'm going to be the mother of God and, you know, the Spirit of God's going to come on me and I'm going to get pregnant and have a son and we're supposed to name him Jesus. Could you imagine what went through the mind of Joseph? And yet Mary is here. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Imagine that. I mean, think about that. Think about that. Could you imagine in that little town of Nazareth? Everybody knew that Mary, you know, it's a small town. Everybody talks. Everybody up in everybody else's grip. And Mary and Joseph have not come together yet, officially. And Mary turns up pregnant. Can you imagine what would have been said about Mary and Joseph in that town? Can you imagine the family's humiliation? I mean, did Mary really think about this when she said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord? No, I honestly don't believe that she considered all these things. She was just like, okay, God, you want to do it? Good by me. How much faith did that take? How much courage did that take? And yet God will say to you and me, hey, go talk to that guy over there on the corner. And we'll go, I'm gonna. Lose it. Oh, that our faith would be like Mary who said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be unto me according to your word. Father, may your will be unto us according to the words that you have said. And Father, where we lack the faith, give us the faith as a gift that we might freely and directly serve you. Nothing that we face is as intense as what Mary faced. You know, if Joseph had followed through with divorcing her, Mary would be like open to being stoned. Executed for adultery. I mean, that's heavy. And yet Mary said, okay, have your way, God. You know, I'm reminded of a saying that I've heard so many times that says it is easy to be a martyr for Christ. Why? Because you die once and it's over. You know, you get killed once and then you're in the presence of God. But you know what's harder? Living for God. And Mary, by saying, may it be unto me according to your word, Mary is signing up for a life of ridicule, a life of whispers behind her back. And she has to walk in that, live in that. And then eventually when her son hangs on the cross for the sins of the world, can you imagine the talk then? There's the son of Mary. Done gone and got himself crucified. What kind of parent would raise a kid like that? You know, that's not in the Bible, but come on, we all know human nature. Mary is special because, yes, she's the mother of God, but she's also special because she epitomizes what Paul writes about when he says, present yourself as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God. What's the difference between a living sacrifice and a dead sacrifice? A dead sacrifice gets slain. And you know, when we think about the sacrifices of the Old Testament, we quite often in our minds think about, you know, the sin offering, the guilt offering, all those offerings that were given as a symbol of the coming offering of Christ. And we think about all those animals slain. Who knows how many millions of birds slain and sheep. But one thing that we forget about is at the dedication of the tabernacle, most of the tribes also gave living sacrifices. They gave the oxen that would draw the carts that would carry the implements of the tabernacle. Those are living sacrifices. Remember Samuel. Remember Samuel. He's a living sacrifice. His mother Hannah said, hey, if you give me a son, I'll give him right back to the temple. And she did. He was a living sacrifice. Very special because she yielded herself to be a living sacrifice. Question is, are we willing to yield ourselves to be sacrificed? Are we willing to set aside our prerogatives? Are we willing to follow the walk of Jesus, who set aside the glory of heaven to come to earth to pour himself out for mankind? And the question to us is, are we willing to set aside the level of glory that we have to be poured out as a sacrifice? Are we willing to say, Lord, done to me according to you? I can tell you and I can confess that, you know what, I've not been great at having that attitude. Yeah, I might pray the words, but then when it comes time to do the deed, a lot of times I found ways to wiggle out. I confess. And I say, Lord, help me. Help me to be better being a sacrifice. Help me to be better at laying my life down, that you might be glorified and made. So that others might know your word and know your power. So that men might be drawn to your son, be saved. Father God, we thank you for this time in your word. And we ask, Father, that you would be glorified in it. We ask, Father God, that you would be magnified, that you would be lifted up. We ask, Father God, that your Son, who stepped out of glory in heaven and into earth, would be glorified through our lives. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to know and to have studied your word. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. You know, if this word has touched you, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what God is doing in your life in this year 2020. And with that in mind, we invite you to contact us by email at staff@bounce-point.org. Our Facebook page, Bounce Point CC, Bounce, full stop, Point CC. You can message us via our YouTube channel at Bounce Point Church. We'd also love to hear from you, and you can send us mail And soon we will have a P.O. box for this, but for now, here's our mailing address. 19980 Storrs Street, Willowbrook, California, 90222. And you can address that to the Balance Point Church at that address. We love hearing from those whom God is touching, and we invite you to contact us. If you don't have a church home and you need a church home, you really should get plugged in. And we invite you to become part of the Balance Point family. If for some reason you cannot make it to a local church, we encourage you to become a member of a local church. But if for some reason that is not a possibility for you, we invite you to continue joining us here at Balance Point. And again, we actually look forward to something coming up this year that is just going to be outstanding. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag until we have everything in place. We invite you to join us online. And soon we will be resuming our live streams. But for now, may God richly bless you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May in the night watches you hear him singing over you, that you might know that he is God and that he loves you. In the mighty name of our Son, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.